You are listening to the Hodges Huddle, where we discuss all things in the wide world of sports. Here is your KLSU sports team.
Welcome into the Hodges Huddle. I'm your host, Andre Champon, and today I am joined by my lovely co-workers, Raven Freeman and Andon Brabham. How are y'all doing after a very, very busy weekend from the three of us?
A lot of work. I'm a little tired, to be honest with you. I'm a little worn down, but we're getting there. We got it going on, and we're moving through the weeks, man. We're getting there.
Yeah, yep. A very busy weekend, but it was worth it. Learned some new things, got to watch some good sports, so it was okay.
Yeah.
Learned some new things?
You learned some new things?
Yeah, I learned everything about baseball.
Like how you need to put the microphone on the microphone stand?
Oh.
Oh.
Do I need to do that?
Yes, you should.
Guys, it's extra innings, not overtime.
Yeah, baseball, for those who might have been unaware, baseball games go into extra innings, not overtime.
Close, though.
Close enough. And you know
close
what?
Close enough. It should be called overtime.
I asked some people around the office who don't work in the sports department what baseball overtime is called, and a majority of them just said overtime. Yeah. So you know what, Raven? I don't even think you're in that bad of a spot.
Okay, great.
I agree.
Because what other sport is it called something else?
Soccer, it's called added time.
Okay, well,
or
never
extra
mind.
Time.
Yeah, extra
time. Just ignore what I just
but
said.
But speaking for myself, shout out Jaden, because I'm doing well on this calm little Tuesday.
Shout out Jaden Smith.
But first, before we start, I want to shout out these two reporters filling in this weekend.
Getting
it done this weekend when I needed them. Obviously, we can talk about how lucky we are with this job, with the experiences we get. But the people are even better.
So sweet. I do appreciate
such a sweetheart.
Y'all. Yeah, I do appreciate
Hey, you know what? I'd like to give you a shout-out as well, Mr. Andre, because without you, I wouldn't be in this lovely office right now. So.
Well, I
know what? I appreciate it, buddy.
I'll take a Van Cleef.
What does that even mean?
A what?
Are you sneak dissing me?
No, a Van Cleef, it's like jewelry. It's like a $20,000 bracelet.
Oh, wow.
See, here she goes.
Here we go.
This $37,000 wedding ring from Tiffany & Co.
It's okay. But
moving on.
This past week, the beautiful month of March has been in full swing as we are already approaching Sweet 16 weekend coming up. This year has already been really fun and just small team upsets and really unlikely matchups. But first, let's talk about this LSU women's basketball team and then the women's tournament matchups. Next. So LSU women's basketball coming off a very successful weekend in Baton Rouge, where they played sloppy in a win against Rice and then finished hot when it mattered most against a very well-coached and talented Middle Tennessee team. LSU was led by great performances from Flaje Johnson, especially Anissa Morrow and Angel Reese. And the Tigers will go on to face UCLA in Albany. So starting off, what does LSU have to improve on when facing such a speedy team in UCLA?
Well, what they really struggle with in the first half against Middle Tennessee State, and me personally, I'm kind of chalking the Rice game off as just an outlier. Yeah. I kind of take that Middle Tennessee game as sort of this is what LSU is going to look like in the tournament. And they really tended to struggle with keeping up with some of the off-the-ball movement that Middle Tennessee had. Rick Ensel is a Hall of Fame coach over there in Middle Tennessee. They have very talented players. They were very big on the inside. They were very quick, and they had a lot of off-the-ball movement. Mm-hmm. And UCLA is very similar with that sort of movement. So if LSU can be stout defensively, the defense is the launching pad for this team, because when you allow them to run in transition, I find it hard to believe that there's a better athlete in women's college basketball than Flaje Johnson.
Yeah.
And when she gets to run in transition, she is absolutely the most dangerous person on the court at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah. This team can't have a slow start on both sides of the ball like they typically do. Like Andre said, UCLA is going to start off at a fast pace and is most likely going to maintain that all throughout the game. Like, say, for instance, they start to get a big lead, I don't know how well LSU is going to be able to handle that.
Yeah, I agree. I think LSU has to just do a better job, like we just said, starting fast, being physical from the jump, just matching other teams' physicality. When you play down in somebody's competition like you did Rice, and don't get me wrong, Rice was kind of like they just didn't go away at points.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a testament to them and being great. But LSU turned the ball over 24 times. You can't do that. And so I would just say they've done a poor job of starting fast in tournament games, like not only this year, but also last year in those first few rounds. And we know that we know that this team has it in them to start fast. So just push the tempo, be aggressive on defense. That defense turns into offense, like you said, and that's when this team is best. But in a game where the talent level is matched a little bit, how does LSU have to make sure they do start fast? I guess that's kind of like piggyback off of this, but
give Anissa Morrow and Michaela Williams the ball. Yeah. I had the opportunity to talk to both of them after the game, and Michaela specifically, and just talking to her about her one-on-one game and how effective she is with that. I was sitting there talking to some of the other media members, you know, sitting around me at that game Sunday, and the player comparison that we kept landing on was DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
Where it just feels like wherever she touches the ball, she's going to size you up, put a move on you, and score in the mid-range. Or she can shoot a three, or she can drive inside. And she's also really good defensively. It's about getting those touches to the people who are your bucket getters. Because Angel Reese started the game 3 of 10 from the field.
You want somebody that you can rely on.
And
those two players are definitely.
Yeah, right now your two best bucket getters are Anissa Morrow and Michaela Williams. Flauje Johnson gets a mention in there, but I think Flauje does so much other stuff that I'm not sure I want to give her the ball in a one-on-one situation and say, hey, four, go get a bucket.
Yeah.
I'd much rather do that with Anissa or Michaela Williams.
I agree. What do you think?
As far as starting the game off fast, they need to bring high intensity from tip-off. They need to scare UCLA. I mean, that's going to set the tone for the whole game. They also need to prioritize getting good looks at the basket on offense, whether that's through driving to the hoop or moving the ball to open shooters or feeding the post. By taking those high-percentage shots, they have a better chance of scoring efficiently early in the game. And I also think Kim should look for more contributions from the bench players early to provide a spark and maintain momentum in the game, especially considering the depth and versatility on the bench and on the team.
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, though, specifically, you have to start the game off really great on defense. You saw it against Auburn in the SEC tournament. They went on a run.
Yeah.
And if you do that in a game like this, UCLA is just not going to hang around.
Right.
They thrive off of close games. And you saw that last night. And then you saw it just in the Pac-12 tournament. So I would say just turn that defense into offense and push the tempo. LSU plays the game better than any team in the country when they're pushing it. Look at, like you said, there is no player better in transition than Flauje Johnson. Her speed and just ability to read a defense when they're coming in and closing in, she's great at it. So I think you have to utilize her in that role too. But what do you make of that bench play that Raven's kind of talking about so far in the tournament? And what has to get better on that end?
The bench is what it is at this point.
Right.
You know, you get to March and you are who you are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's something Matt McMahon said after they lost to North Texas in the NIT. When you get to this point in the season, you are who you are. Nothing is going to change.
Right.
Nothing's going to get better. Nothing's going to get worse. You just are who you are at this point. And LSU is a team that will run out seven ladies, and they're just going to run.
Yep.
And they're just going to do what they have to do to win. Last year, Poa is probably the best sixth man in the country. And in my opinion, she should probably start over Haley Van Lith because the offense looks so much better when last year Poa has the ball in her hands because she's just so calm and she's so tenacious and she's so tough. And those aren't traits that Haley Van Lith lacks per se. It's just something that Poa does really, 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 really well. And then you have Aaliyah Del Rosario who's going to come in and give you some solid minutes. She's going to be okay defensively. She's going to be good rebounding the ball. Sometimes she looks a little lost offensively, like she doesn't really know what's going on. I'm not sure if that's, you know, something that is getting, you know, lost in communication between the coaching staff and her as to what her role is in the offense. But they're giving you valuable minutes. Last year, Poa played like 30 minutes, I think. And Aaliyah Del Rosario played like 8 or 9. And that's just what they are. Like, you're not going to go any deeper than 7 on this team. You don't have a Kateri Poole or a Jasmine Carson or Samaya Smith or LaDeja Williams, who you can just go call on and they'll give you 15 minutes a night. You don't have that on this team. You got two.
Yep. Yeah. Andon really took the words right out of my mouth. I literally have here, I mean, they're pretty decent when they're actually on the court. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kim is just so hesitant at using the bench. And then even as far as what has to get better on that end, everything really does, but nothing's going to have the chance to get better unless they're on the court, and that they're not.
Yeah. We're too deep in for anything to change. You right, are what exactly. you are.
Yeah. And I think despite the injury that Poe is still kind of feeling right now, I think she's doing amazing. Like Andon said, starting to knock down shots, too. You haven't seen her shoot the ball all real season, and you've seen her take some three-pointers. In junior college, she was primary scorer.
Yeah.
So I think it's really good that she's starting to do that. Even Janae Kent's getting some minutes in, and I think she's going to take on that role of Kateri Poole as hey, you're a guard, you're a bigger guard, you can go and get a rebound, mm-hmm. you can go and hit the shots that are wide open. That's all we need from you, really, and maybe take it down whenever people are in foul trouble. So I think that you have options on the bench, and like we said, Rosario, it is what it is at this point. You're going to get those solid minutes from her, and you really just need it when Angel's in foul trouble.
Which LSU did a very good job when the whistles were flying in that game on Sunday. LSU did a phenomenal job of not being in foul trouble.
Yeah.
The three bigs for Middle Tennessee combined for 14 fouls, I believe. Two of them fouled out. One of them had finished the game with four fouls. Anissa Morrow and Angel Reese, the two, I guess, mm-hmm. bigs you could say for LSU, had four fouls combined between the two of them. So, I mean, that is – LSU shot 37 free throws. Middle Tennessee only shot 9.
Mm. Yeah.
Is there some shady refereeing going on there?
Maybe so.
Most likely.
Maybe. But also, Middle Tennessee was a three.
But also – and they couldn't handle you inside. You were too physical for them. Yeah. And LSU is going to be too physical for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
They play with a physicality that is akin to some of the men's basketball teams that I watch in this tournament, specifically some of the bigger ones from the SEC tend to bang you around a little bit more. And that's what this LSU team feels like, is they're just tough. Mm-hmm. They're going to bang you around, and they're going to get on the inside and make their money at the free throw line. Yep. And that's what they did against Middle Tennessee.
Yeah. You kind of have anything to add off that? But
no, you said it perfectly.
But like, which player do you think has to have a big game in the Sweet 16 round for LSU to advance to that Elite Eight and then the regional final in Albany? And tell me just why. I know you just mentioned Michaela.
The name I'm going to say is Anissa Morrow.
Okay.
Just because her presence on the inside is so key for LSU. Her and Angel Reese had a couple of really nice plays against each other where one would draw the double team and the other would just make that really good-looking dump-off pass for the easy layup. And they have it almost feels like they're developing this sort of like, and I'm going to make a drastic comparison, which is not at all fair to either of these duos, but it almost feels like Tim Duncan and David Robinson, to where they just understand where the other person is really, really well, and they know what the other person is going to do.
They're high IQ players. They know how to pass it.
And they have this sort of almost telepathic connection with each other where it's like, I understand that you are going to be there when I'm getting double teamed. And it feels like LSU is finally starting to understand each other the same way that last year's team finally started to understand each other in March. Yeah. But for me, that starts with Anissa Morrow, just because she's like if Kenneth Faried could score at all three levels, because she's just so angry. She's angry, and she's an aggressive rebounder because she's not big.
No, she's not.
Compared to a lot of bigs that play women's basketball now, she's only 6'1".
Yeah.
Which, for being a big in women's college basketball, isn't very big.
That's the definition of a four, right.
Like, and she's just a tenacious rebounder, and she fights for everything on the court. She draws charges. She's so key to what Kim Mulkey basketball looks like that, man, it starts and ends with her for me, with Anissa Morrow.
Yep. What player do you have?
I didn't want to go with Angel or Anissa because I know that they're going to step up when they need to. I know they're going to have a big game. So I'm going to go with Haley once again. I mean, we've seen little to nothing from her throughout the whole tournament.
On defense, she's been
she was lights out defensively. And I think, and I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, but you're good.
A lot of people have been firing at Haley Van Lith for how she played against Middle Tennessee State because I think she had like 5 points and six assists.
Yeah, 4 points and four fouls.
Yeah. And a lot of people will look at that and be like, oh, she played awful. And there was the ESPN post of her on the bench at the start of the second half.
Right.
Haley Van Lith probably had the most important job defensively, which was running after Savannah Wheeler, who was the CUSA Player of the Year, averaging 18 points a night, had a 40 ball a couple weeks ago, had like 25 against Louisville when they beat them. Like, Savannah Wheeler is tough. She runs around the court like Steph Curry does, because everything Rick Ensel does in Middle Tennessee is based on a double screen that the guard will run around. Yep. And be open. And Haley Van Lith had the job of running after her. Mm-hmm. And it was – that's an unbelievably hard job to do. You could look on the faces of the LSU guards after the game, and you could tell that even though they won by 25, like, they were physically exhausted and beaten up after that game, because it was just constantly running into a screen. And it was a hard game for those ladies. And – I just think that Haley Van Lith deserves a lot more credit than she's getting, but I'll let you get back to your point.
It's true, but she's just been very underwhelmed. I know that she can do more, and I feel like if she contributed as much to the team as I know that she can, like, okay, defensive-wise, okay, she's been doing decent. But it's like on the offensive side of the ball, how many points did you have against Tennessee? 40, 30?
Four.
I mean, no, against Tennessee.
Oh, against Tennessee, she had like 26.
Yeah. I mean, like, imagine if she were to play like that every game, which is not going to happen, but she can just contribute so much more to this team. That's why it's so disappointing. We've only seen that side of her one game, as opposed to like Louisville. She was kind of playing at that more consistently, and that's what we all expected from her. That's why it's so disappointing. That's why I'm expecting her to step up bigger, because also UCLA is going to be a bigger fight. Imagine if she plays like that against this team. I feel like they won't even be able to compete.
I mean, for me, like, my player is also Haley Van Lith, but it's not for any reason besides offensively. I think offensively she has to do better.
Right.
But she wasn't not efficient. When you looked at her this weekend, I mean, I thought she was efficient in running the offense.
Yeah, she didn't take bad
offense.
Shots.
Yeah, I mean, she created offense. You look at the assist numbers, and that's going to happen. Like it or not, it's going to happen. We're going to have a player on LSU's team that just the stats don't show. You know what you did, because you have all those options. You have Flauja, you have Michaela, you have Angel. Anissa. It's just so many options on this team that. That's just going to happen, right?
It's just frustrating because, like, even Kim is frustrated. That's why she benched her.
It is what it is.
She wasn't benched. Last year, Poe just started the second half. Everybody made a big deal out of that, but that wasn't really like a, hey, I am benching you.
Right.
It was just, hey, we're going to run Poe to start with because she played really well at the end of the first half. Yeah. But it's like the Warriors Death Squad lineup where it was Steph, Clay, Iggy, Draymond, and KD. And it was like, oh, well. That you have all these options that can go and score, but there is only one basketball. Mm-hmm. So somebody's going to have to take a step back.
Yeah.
Most of the time that was Iggy or Draymond. And on this team, most of the time, Haley Van Lith ends up being the Iggy or the Draymond.
It's usually those two.
And they're the ones that usually have to take the step back, which they seem to be very okay with. Haley Van Lith was all smiles post game. Yep. She said, I am more than happy to be in this role that I'm in right now because we're winning basketball games.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, that's the most important part, is winning basketball games. So if Haley Van Lith scores 5 points and LSU wins, she's just as happy as if Haley Van Lith scored 50 points and LSU won. Right. It's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It's just doing your role.
She does her job very well.
And I will say she got a lot of, you know, like she got a lot of criticism because she wasn't playing well at the start of the season, but she's been the most she's been the best defensively in her career thus far.
Yeah.
And then as well as like running the true one, this is the best she's played as well in running the true one. But offensively against UCLA, she's got to be better, and that's because all those guards from UCLA, that's a smaller group, and then that's what I'm kind of talking about. They run with speed, and they're going to have to rely on her a lot just to kind of defend, I would say defend around the perimeter.
Yeah.
And I think she's done a great job of that. So I think just kind of relying on her, but also you're going to have to start knocking down some shots when they're open and kind of feeding off of that. But we're going to before we do our predictions, give me the player to watch out for in the Sweet 16 round, just for any team in the women's tournament.
It's hard to not.
It's pretty hard.
It's hard to not pick the girl from Iowa, 22 in black and yellow. Yeah. Like, she is the best player in the country, whether you like her or not. A lot of people around this office know that I'm not her biggest fan. But I'll be goddamned if Caitlin Clark isn't the best basketball player in the country right now. Like, just the way she pulls shots. It's one move. She's got one move in her bag, and it's that step back onto the wing.
Mm-hmm. If you give her any
but it's
sort
the
of
best.
Space, yeah.
It's the best move in college basketball right now. Mm-hmm. Nobody can stop that.
Yeah, no type of defense.
She's pulling from 40 feet, and she's draining it. Like, she's Ray Allen. Like, it's unbelievable what she does.
Yeah.
If you don't have her as a player to watch, then you're looking for somebody else to pay attention to that's not Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
But she is the, like, I'm just going to take the layup because it's an easy answer. Caitlin Clark is the person to watch in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I kind of went away from that, but I want to.
Yeah, I try not to be so typical. Obviously, Caitlin Clark is
but, I mean,
the correct
it's the right,
answer.
It's the right answer.
I'm going to go with Baylor guard, Jada Walker. She's been Baylor's saving grace in this tournament and was the overall reason they beat Virginia Tech with a career high of 28 points, 26 of those being in the second
and Kenny Packin.
To
the SEC. That's how bad she did them. But I'm actually going to say watch out for Stanford's forward, Kiki Iriofen. And she had 41 points, 16 rebounds in a win against a very good Iowa State team. And she and Cameron Brink together, those two are going to cause massive problems.
Shout out Cameron Brink, because a lot of people were mad at her because she was very mouthy at the end of the Iowa State game. Yeah. But you know what? That's what the sport is about.
That's basketball. It is.
If we're gonna let the boys play like that, we need to let the ladies play like that too.
I agree.
So, I love it. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I've seen way more intensity and physicality from the women's tournament than I have in any game in the men's tournament so far.
I agree.
They play so much more physical, and I don't know what it is. Like, I don't have an answer as to why, but it's so much more fun to watch.
Yeah,
I'm having a great time with this women's tournament. Yeah,
They're like, you can't even argue. There's more
star power
in the women's tournament this year. But give me your predictions for the remaining Sweet 16 games. Starting off, Oregon State and Notre Dame. This one should be a really good one.
I'm going to go with the Irish, one of the best backcourts in the country.
Hidalgo.
Hidalgo is probably going to be a future player of the year candidate once people like Caitlin Clark leave. But she's absolutely phenomenal, and I'm going to go with the Irish to take down the Beavs.
I have Notre Dame.
Yeah, I also have Notre Dame. Hannah Hidalgo is literally like
a dog.
I don't know why I didn't even say her name.
A dog.
But single-handedly, like, pretty much blew out Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And I
she's tough,
called
man.
An upset in that. But next up, we have Indiana, South Carolina.
FC
Indiana
all day.
Is a very sneaky team. I will say that.
Yeah.
South Carolina is too
dominant.
I don't see anyone.
Yeah,
I hate to say this, but
USC.
I'm
taking the Cocks there, bro. I mean, that's not, like that's too easy.
It's too easy, yeah.
All right.
But Dawn Staley's the best coach in the world, and Camila Cardoso is great for everything that she is. And South Carolina is just a really great team. Yeah, I mean they're the best team in the country.
I'm going South Carolina. I'm not arguing with y'all. I'm just saying, watch out for Indiana. They're going to match the physicality of South Carolina.
I agree.
They're going to throw y'all off. Next up, we have NC State. Personally, I think it's going to be the best game of the Sweet 16. NC State, Stanford. This is two great defensive teams.
Give me the trees. I'm going to take the Stanford Cardinal. It's going to be low scoring, like you said, two of the better defensive teams. But, man, I'm so impressed with Cameron Brink and everything that they do. Tara Vanderveer is a legend of the game.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes down to March, especially on the women's side,
coaching.
It comes down to the coaching because they're running plays a lot of the time, and there's not many better than Tara Vanderveer. So I'm going to go ahead and go with the trees to get that one done.
Okay.
I have Stanford as well.
Yeah, Stanford. I got NC State in this one. Something just tells me Their offense is not great, but it's not bad. And I think just their physicality is going to maybe surprise Stanford. Next up, we have Gonzaga in Texas.
Gonzaga has probably been one of my favorite teams to watch in this tournament so far. I'm going to take them in an upset. Ooh. I think they're going to take down Texas, and UT will be sent packing over to the SEC without a championship ring.
I actually thought about this one. I could see Gonzaga upsetting, but I'm still going to go with Texas.
Yeah, I'm going Texas here, but I definitely could see the upset. Gonzaga's playing probably the best or most consistent first two rounds out of any of those teams. LSU, UCLA, this is the are we not doing
predictions? I got to take LSU, man. I'm going to take LSU because
they want that Iowa rematch.
Yeah, they want it really bad. And I think that when LSU plays with a chip on their shoulder, there's not many teams that are better than them when they have that opportunity. So I'm going to go with LSU to get it done against the Bruins.
Okay. I'm not giving my prediction. I've been told I'm bad luck.
Thank you.
Okay, cool. I'm also going LSU here.
Go Tigers.
This is actually something I've changed in my regular bracket. I had UCLA winning this game, and then I kind of watched their first two games, and it made me kind of think.
They struggle with Creighton for a while in that game.
UCLA struggles with height, and Angel Reese and Anissa Morrow are going to be feasting on Saturday. But the next game, really, really good game, Colorado-Iowa.
Man, all right.
This is going to be something.
This is probably second most biased prediction I have outside of my LSU pick. I want LSU Colorado in the Elite Eight, and y'all know why behind the scenes.
Rematch. Yeah.
Not only for the rematch, but
22.
Andon has a vested interest in this game with my partner being enrolled at the University of Colorado. So I want LSU versus the Buffs in the Elite Eight, just to have that little piece of
a little rivalry
challenge right there. So I'm going to go with the Buffs in the upset. And as far as the basketball goes, Iowa doesn't impress me outside of Caitlin Clark very much.
True. And West Virginia pointed out many, many.
They really, really struggle on the inside. They struggle with pace and transition. And that's two things that I think Colorado does really well, especially on the inside. They're very good on the inside. So I think, you know, I think they'll be able to take advantage of that. And let's be real, she's not going to go score 60. She might drop 35, but Caitlin Clark's not going to drop 60, and she's not going to single-handedly drag a team to beat you. It's going to take somebody else having a good performance.
I agree.
Let Caitlin Clark be Caitlin Clark, and make sure that you don't let the other ladies on that team beat you. I got the Buffs in an upset.
Okay,
I just don't see the one-man train stopping anytime soon, to be honest. I'm going to go.
The one-woman show?
Yeah.
So initially I had Colorado winning this game.
Okay.
And here's my thing. I think the media, ESPN, the NCAA, I think they want that LSU-Iowa rematch so dang bad that there's no shot in hell that Iowa is going to lose this game. and here's my thing. I think on a dang regular season game, I think Colorado destroys Iowa. I really do. I believe that, like, wholeheartedly.
But let those whistles get involved.
Let number 22, who is changing the game, you know, breaking records and just, you know, lost the championship last year. It's too good to be true. It's too dang good to be true, Andon. I'm going to Iowa in this one, and it hurts me to do so. But next up, we have Baylor USC.
Juju Watkins, one of the best players in the country, and she's only a freshman, and she's only going to get better. Give me the Trojans big. I think this is one of those that winds up being a pretty lopsided game.
Yeah.
I just think USC is a phenomenal team. I think if anybody's going to beat South Carolina, it's USC. I got the Trojans big.
Go.
Yeah, that's just best pick.
You have USC too?
Yeah.
I have USC in a blowout as well. Next up, we have Duke, who upset at Ohio State. Last year was a 3 seed. Just kind of struggled this year with ACC play. ACC was just weird this year. Playing Paige Beckers in UConn.
Gino Auriemma, the OG of OGs. I'm going to take the Huskies once again.
They're good.
They're like the Patriots almost. They just don't go away. They're always going to be there, and they're always going to be good, and they're always going to know how to beat you. Gino Auriemma, one of the best coaches in the world. I know I've said that about a lot of people, but there are really some elite coaches currently coaching in this tournament, and Gino Auriemma is one of the OGs of that group. I'm going to take the Huskies to win this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people underestimate Duke, so I have UConn winning in overtime.
Okay, yeah. I could definitely see that. Oh, I also have UConn. I think this is – weird stat, UConn hadn't been to the Final Four.
It's been a couple years.
Hadn't been to the Final – so since last year, UConn had made the previous 15 or so Final Fours just for that very reason, man. I have to take UConn pretty far in this. But we're going to move on to the men's tournament. And this year's first two rounds, just insane. Give our thoughts on the first weekend before we get into Sweet 16. And just some quick questions. We kind of asked on Sunday. I just kind of want to get your take on this, and into which game in the first two rounds kind of surprised you most?
Surprised me the most would be Oakland beating Kentucky. I mean, that's just one that, you know, you never really draw up. But the most fun I had watching a game was actually Colorado and Florida in the first round, round of 64.
Super high score.
That was a wonderful basketball game to watch. And the guard for Colorado, I forget his name. I think it's J.J. Williams or something along that line, hitting a step-back mid-range jumper for the win at the death. I mean, that was probably the most fun I've had watching a game. Plus, I got to see Florida lose. So.
Yeah, it's always a good day to see that.
Yeah, I'm actually changing my answer from Sunday. I'm going to go A&M Houston because I didn't expect
it. Was also a great game.
Great game.
And I feel so bad for Buzz Williams and that team, man, because they deserved more out of that than they got.
I agree.
Just
I didn't expect
good
this.
Offensively.
Yeah, I didn't expect this Houston defense to struggle so much against the A&M offense, especially because a topic of discussion was, okay, Wade Taylor can't do it all by himself, or other guys going to step up and help scoring-wise. And that they did. I didn't expect it to go to overtime. Yeah. I didn't expect it to be this close. So, Houston, I have you guys winning it all. I know I'm saying that too early, but watch out. Because A&M gave them a run for their money I did not expect.
And
I was
an
scared.
Interesting point of that game, we thought Wade Taylor was going to maybe get, like, you know, a few. We thought he was going to contribute. We didn't think he was going to score 35 points. The dude sucked, straight up.
Yeah.
Was not good. Yeah. When you needed your best player down the stretch, he just wasn't there for you.
Which I really feel bad for those guys. And I know it's a rival of LSU, but, like, I had the opportunity to talk to Buzz Williams and some of his guys, and they're such a well-drilled, well-disciplined basketball team. And that's the beauty and the agony of March Madness is that it's 40 minutes of basketball, and you're not going to be able to get it back. So if you don't play well, there is no tomorrow to make up for it. That's it.
And I also feel bad for them because they just got a bad draw as it was.
Absolutely, as an 8 seed.
I think they probably would have upsetted, like, North Carolina on a good day. But
or Purdue or school like that.
Exactly. For mine, I have Oakland, Kentucky, too, just because and it didn't surprise me that Kentucky got lit up from three. It was the fact that they matched the physicality with Antonio Reeves and all those first-round draft picks, Rob Dillingham. But which game just completely broke your bracket?
Oakland and Kentucky. Yeah. I had them in the Elite Eight.
There you go.
And they just got boat raced, man. Like, it wasn't even it didn't even feel close. Like, it always felt like Oakland was
– they had control, though.
Even in control of the game for most of it. And I've never really seen Kentucky just get dominated like that.
Yeah, I actually had Auburn-Yale. I had Auburn in my Final Four.
Oh, you know what? That is the one that broke my bracket because I had Auburn in the national championship game.
There you go.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, because I was all in on Bruce Pearl this year, and they lose in the first round to some kids from an Ivy League school. So.
And I would say right now, which – and did you kind of have the same? You had Oakland?
Oh, yeah, I had Oakland, Kentucky, but Kentucky. I don't know – I mean, what we thought was going to change from John.
Yeah,
California.
And
I mean,
don't worry, there's more coming.
yes, indeed, there is.
Which team right now do you think has, you know, the best chance of going forward? Maybe just not getting a lot of, you know, looks right now.
NC State.
Yeah.
Five games in 5 days. They're in the Sweet 16. They're playing a Marquette team that didn't look great.
Exactly.
Marquette was on the ropes for a while against Colorado. And in the first round against, who did they play in the first round?
Couldn't even tell you.
I forget who it was, but it wasn't a bad game. And then they struggled with Colorado in the second round. They barely came out of that one. Now they're playing an NC State team that feels like they can beat anybody in the country right now because they just have this goodwill built up and this momentum built up. And if you don't think momentum is a real thing, you're wrong. I think NC State is one of those sneaky Final Four teams because they've got a pretty good draw on that side of the bracket as well.
Yeah, who do you have?
That's I mean, I have Illinois.
You have Illinois? I think that's a great pick.
I think that's also a very good pick.
The Sweet 16 since 2005. And currently, they're not even favored to lose by Iowa by that much.
It's 1.5. It's literally a coin flip.
Yeah. They haven't made the
Sweet 16 since 2005.
That's one. Because they've had some really, Kofi Coburn. They're a great program. They've had good teams.
They're just a great program. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I do agree. I think they could really win it all if they win this next game.
Oh, I do too. Because they have the talent, the team, and the experience.
The coaching's there. For me, I have North Carolina State too. I'm with Andon. The way they're playing right now, I have to give it to them.
Okay.
If they beat Marquette, I think they have a legitimate shot to win the entire tournament. And I just love the swagger that this team plays with, man. We're talking about this team walks out to the boss man, D-Lo. Get in with me.
And I love it,
49ers vibes. It's just like I love the physicality that DJ Burns plays with. He's like a Zach Randolph.
He's been my favorite player to watch in this whole like on both sides, the men's and the women's, dude. He's so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
And he's putting on for us big dudes out there.
Shout out to the big guys out there.
You know, I appreciate him putting on for us, dude. I'm loving watching NC State.
I agree.
But if you want another team outside of NC State, Alabama. Yeah. Looks really good, and they can shoot the lights out on anybody, and Nate Oates has them really disciplined and really defensively sound right now. They play North Carolina, which isn't an easy task. Right. They are back to where they are. They had a couple off years, but they're back. Armando Bacot is
he's for real.
Like a seventh-year senior, but he's still kicking. But I'd look for Alabama to be one of those sneaky teams to get to that Final Four national championship.
Yeah, and then I asked this on Sunday, but there always seems to be stars on the smaller teams, right? So give me one of your favorite ones so far. And it could be a player who's already out of the tournament.
Oh, man. I'm going to let Raven take this one first.
Okay. So I'm going to choose my same one from Sunday. Yeah, I'm going to turn it back to the women's side. I'm going to go with Iowa State's freshman, Audie Crooks.
Yeah,
I mean,
dog.
I love how,
Audie.
Yeah, I love how she showed up for her team when it counted the most. I mean, I keep thinking about this, dropping 40
fees
as a freshman in your first NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. Your first ever. I mean, that's unheard of. I also adore her personality. Why? She has a lot of love for her dad.
She's very sweet. Yeah. Hearing the story about her dad who passed away when she was 16, like that is like that, you know, that kind of stirs me up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and that was that. Yeah. That's a good pick right there.
Yeah.
She loves this team. You can tell.
I agree.
I'm going with the Widow Peak Poppy.
Oh, man.
Oakland basketball upsetting Kentucky. Jack Golkey, who has some he's become the Jimmer Fredette of this tournament.
Doug Eater.
The Doug Eater, like Jack Golkey, popped onto the scene. How many threes?
He had 10 threes.
He had 10 threes, and he took like 20 shots to do it, which is just unbelievable that he got that many shots up against Kentucky. So, yeah, Jack Golkey, man, for coming in and making a lot of people who hate Kentucky basketball very happy.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. The coach for Oakland in press conferences after that, after they beat Kentucky, said that they got like $15,000 in merch orders from Louisville.
Wow.
So if you want to know how deep the Kentucky-Louisville basketball rivalry runs,
15K.
Louisville fans ordered 15K worth of Oakland basketball merch insane. After they beat Kentucky in round number
awesome.
One.
Just a troll for next year.
Yeah. Jack Golkey, you are my media darling of this NCAA tournament.
And Jack
Golkey,
I don't mean to like point out here, personally, down the hall, I think he looks a lot like our good buddy Ragin' Valdez, man.
Does he? Oh,
I
my
think
God,
so,
he does.
A little bit. I just think
we
so.
We need to talk to
the head shape.
I wish we could put a picture of Ragin' up on the screen. We might have to do that in post.
To do that.
Get a picture of Ragin' up on the screen and a picture of Jack Golkey. I called him the Widow Peak Poppy because he's got the real deep Widow Peak going on. But yeah, man, dude, to even be in that game and to, because like I
NIL
thought this
now.
Was. I thought this was the year for Kentucky where they would finally make that deep run because they've kind of been haunted losing to St. Peter's and losing to teams like that. I thought that this was kind of their shot, and they just blew it, dude. They were bad.
Yeah, for me, I'm going Grand Canyon's tying Grant Foster. Big guard for the Antelopes and his story, like I said, on Sunday. So awesome. A player that bounced around teams, just had really bad luck until he found Grand Canyon. He collapsed twice during games with heart issues. And he's had multiple heart surgeries before he did find his home in Grand Canyon. And he's made the most out of his talent, and he's actually projected to go, I think, in the second round of the NBA draft. So just a really cool story. I love stuff like that in the tournament. But let's get on to our Sweet 16 predictions. First off, Clemson, Arizona. Who you got winning that one?
I'm going to take Zona. I believe in them. I have them in my Final Four in my bracket. I think they're just one of those teams that is so deep and so talented. And they're actually one of the older teams in this tournament. And they just play really solid basketball, which is what you expect out of Arizona at this point. I got Zona killing the it almost feels like an underdog run because Clemson was the least picked sixth seed out of all of them.
They weren't even favored.
New Mexico was the favorite in that game as the 11th seed. So it almost feels like Clemson has played underdog this whole tournament, and then they went and beat Baylor the way they did. They didn't trail for a single second in that game.
Yeah,
Clemson's been super impressive, but I think Arizona's just that tick better.
Yeah, I
had Baylor in my Final Four.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of faith in Clemson after that win that they earned. So I'm going to go Clemson over
Arizona. Clemson?
I am.
I have Arizona winning this game because I think Caleb Love will be able to outduel those Clemson guards just physicality-wise. And then P.J. Hall, who's Clemson's center, he's going to have a really, really long day with the size and strength from Umar Ballo. Just a big, big guy. And I think it's really close, but I do have Zona pulling it off. And do you have Clemson covering? Right now it is at 6.5. Zona.
I'll say yes. I'll say yes because usually the way most March Madness games go is like – Arizona will go up big, and Clemson will slowly close the gap until they run out of time. So I'm gonna say, they're gonna cover 6.5.
Okay,
yeah,
you think they cover?
Yeah,
I also have them covering. Next matchup we have on Thursday is one of the cooler story matchups. Is we're gonna have a rematch of the last year's national championship in San Diego State and UConn. Who wins that one?
I'm gonna go with the Huskies because Dan Hurley is the best coach in college in men's college basketball right now. And I think that if there is a team to go back-to-back, which there hasn't been in quite a while, it will be UConn. Because, man, they're just so talented.
Coaching-wise.
And they're so well-drilled. I use that word a lot, but that is the phrase that makes you win games in March, is being well-drilled and being well-disciplined.
Yeah.
And that's something that Dan Hurley just soaks into his team so well.
Yeah, I have UConn as well, but the way that they've been blowing through these teams, I think that San Diego will be the first team to give them a run for their money.
I do agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think what UConn did to them last year in a national championship game was embarrassing.
It was.
Yeah,
it was
embarrassing. Absolutely.
And they're going to feel that.
Bad taste in their mouth.
Yes.
And I think they give a really good punch. I think 10.5 points is far too much of a spread. I have UConn winning in this one. But I definitely think it could come down to the last possession.
Yeah, I have them winning by 4.
Yeah. Okay, so next matchup, we have Bama and UNC. This is really probably one of my more favorite matchups of this.
I'm going to take Nate Oates in the custom suits, man.
Ooh.
I just think that they run super fast, and they take a lot of shots. And I'll tell you right now, here's my bold prediction. If it's going to be a race to 75 points – whoever scores 75 points first will win the game.
Okay.
If Alabama gets to 75 before North Carolina does, they will win the game.
Okay.
Because they're going to end up scoring somewhere in the 90s. So it's a race to 75 for me. Whoever gets there first and can instill their game plan to that point, I think they will win the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a race to 75 for me, and I think Bama's going to win that.
Wow. UNC has a really good offense, and I feel like Bama's defense is too rocky. I've talked about how Bama's defense, or Bama in general right now, because we're getting down to the greats, is one of the most inconsistent teams in the tournament right now. So I'm going to go UNC. I don't know if Bama's defense can really handle that.
I like that. And I think this game is going to be super interesting. Both teams really good on offense. It's going to be a high-scoring game, but I'm going to go with the more rounded team. Because they have more scores. And I think with the way that Mark Sears has been playing, I think R.J. Davis is going to be able to lock that down.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Bama's going to be like, oh, shoot, Mark Sears has been the guy for us lately. And I think that could be an issue for them. Illinois and Iowa State.
Iowa State.
super, super defensive game.
Yes. With that game, I said Bama USC.
I don't even know if I want to watch this.
I said Bama USC was a race to 75, and both teams might score in the 90s. This one's probably going to be a race to like 40, 50.
Pure UVA basketball.
Whatever the over-under is in this game, yeah. I would take the under because there might not even be 100 total points scored in this game.
Yep.
Unless somebody has some sort of game that I am not expecting them to have. But I've got Iowa State. This game's probably going to finish like 52-47.
this is
going to be ugly. It's going to be bowling shoe ugly.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to keep my word from earlier. I have some faith in Illinois. So I'm going to go Illinois.
You're going to Fighting Illinois.
The Illini. I tell you what, folks. Andre Champagne, not on top form today.
It's all right. I'm distracted right now.
By who, Andre?
Just lots of people, including the one right here.
You're too kind.
But I'm going to stick with the Cyclones in this one just because I watched them absolutely dominate Houston a few weeks ago. And don't get me wrong, if they catch Illinois slipping in this one, I think Illinois could definitely blow them out in this one. But like I said, 1.5 points, that's such a hard – I'm going with the favorite in here. But moving on to Friday's games, give me the winner between NC State Marquette.
Wolfpack.
Yep, give me DJ Burns.
Too hot to handle right now, man.
I can't.
And Marquette hasn't looked great in the first two rounds.
Boss man, D-Low.
Take the Wolfpack.
Yeah, NC State.
I'm going to NC State too. This is – I think this is going to be the end of their run, though, after this game.
For sure.
I think the fun is done after that. Next up, just amazing coach game right here. You have Gonzaga and Mark Few with Purdue against Purdue.
Zags. Purdue always disappoints right there at the finish line. I'm going to take the Zags. Mm-hmm. I just think Mark Few is brilliant.
You're not lying.
Brilliant. Go ahead, Raven.
Well, no, you should have finished.
What they do at Gonzaga is absolutely brilliant, and the way they develop players to go to the NBA. And I got the Zags. I think I didn't have much faith in them. In my bracket, I predicted them to lose to McNeese in round one.
Mm.
But my faith has been restored in the Zags and Mark Few, and I think they're about to make a deep run into this tournament because, let's be honest, they feel pretty disrespected with where they are as far as the seeding goes. I think they're on a mission to prove everybody wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, I have Purdue lasting one more round, actually.
Yeah, I
think Purdue will win this one.
I agree. I have Purdue, and I just think that if there's anybody playing the best basketball right now, it's Zach Edey. And hate him, you know, love him or hate him, he's locked in right now. And that's
also a seventh-year senior, Zach Edey.
Yeah, I'm tired of watching him.
Wow, we're watching dudes who I watched in freshman year of high school, bro. Like,
I mean, you're right.
These dudes forever.
KD Johnson playing another year of basketball from Auburn. It's time to go, man. I can send you the link to LinkedIn.
Ooh.
We just need to get you. We need to get you signed up. We're gonna get you a nice little headshot. We're gonna get you ready to roll, Katie. I got Purdue in this one. Next up, we got Duke Houston. Man, this
go
is
Cougs.
It's gonna be a great game.
Go Cougs. Go Cougs. I mean, shout out my mom and dad. They went to U of H. Go Cougs. Houston is taking it off. Go Cougs.
Best defensive team in the country.
Go Cougs.
Okay.
Best defensive team in the country. They've absolutely been electric this year from wire to wire. But none of that matters.
Oh.
Because you're facing Duke. Mm. And when it comes to college basketball, it's Duke and it's everybody else. I'm taking the Blue Devils in an upset.
He's taking Jared McCain.
Yes, I am.
Super fun guy. By the way, shout out Jared McCain. shout out Jared McCain. Actually went to class on Monday, when he returned.
Why don't we just shout everybody out?
I'm just saying, shout out Jared McCain. Dude went to class after winning a round of 32 game.
Yeah, I mean, that is pretty impressive. I mean, I wouldn't have gone.
You won't see me in class after I win.
Andre, who are you picking?
I'm going Houston.
Go! Come on.
I am going Houston in this
go
game,
Cougs.
Though. Duke looked really good against in my opinion, weaker James Madison team.
Yeah.
But they haven't seen a defense like this quite yet. And I think Houston scoring 100 points last game really helps them. in confidence-wise and shooting the ball, because that's been an issue for them down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Creighton, Tennessee. A really, really close game, in my opinion. But
this was a really tough one for me. I based my answer solely off Andre. Andre has a lot of faith in Tennessee. So I have Tennessee winning.
I mean, hey.
I do as well. Rocky Top, you will always be home sweet home to me. And when it comes down to March, it's about teams that can slow the game down. And there's not many people that do that better than Rick Barnes.
Yep.
Very boring coach. Good. Tennessee is very boring to watch, but they're also very good to watch. And sometimes being boring is good. And they fit that mold to a T, man. And they do what they do. They are very almost business-like in the way they approach games, and it works for them. And I got Tennessee winning this one.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Andon on this one and Raven. I'm going with the Vols in this game simply because of Dalton Connect. And like I said, I'm high on this Tennessee team just because they're so balanced on both offense and defense. But now they finally, you know, Tennessee historically has never had a guy that they can just say, hey, please go score.
Like, yeah, go get us a bucket.
You know,
yeah.
You are the guy.
Not since Grant Williams.
Exactly. And he's not really a guy that matched up well against college players at that.
Yeah.
So I think Dalton's going to go off in this game. And then their defense and the experience itself, that's what's given, you know, me just, I would say, given Tennessee the win here. Finally, that all of our brackets are busted. Give me your updated Final Four. Just with your champion.
I am going to go with UConn, Arizona, Tennessee, and Duke as my Final Four. My national championship game is UConn versus Tennessee, and I have got UConn winning the national championship. My national champion was Tennessee for a little bit, and now, man, I don't see anybody beating UConn right now, man. They're just brilliant. And they're so good at what they do. So, yeah, I got UConn winning it all.
I have Houston, Tennessee, UConn, and North Carolina.
Okay.
And I have Houston winning it all. Yep. Go Cougs. I don't really care.
I have UConn, Arizona, Houston, Tennessee. Kind of like Andon, just I have Houston in there. And Jesus,
I've never wanted Houston to lose more than I do right now.
Honestly, I'm kind of thinking about it.
At first, I was like, Houston's fine. Now I'm like, I want them to lose.
Can you do it?
No,
I could if I wanted to.
I'll do this for art. I have Tennessee winning the whole thing, though. I have Tennessee beating Arizona in the final.
This podcast is off the rails.
Yeah,
man.
I have Arizona beating UConn in my Final Four.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not mad at that. I think the winner comes from that side of the bracket, whether it's UConn, Iowa State, Bama, North Carolina. Okay. I think your winner is from that, the east-west side of the bracket.
All right. Well, time for the best segment of all time.
It's been a while since I've been on this segment, baby.
It is time for the Poo-Poo Broussard of the week.
Boom, boom.
Yep, goes
the worst in sports, be it a player, coach, event, anything.
Just awful.
Just bad.
Bad.
Terrible.
Bad news. Raven, take it away.
Go ahead.
Y'all are not going to like mine because Andre never likes mine. I'm going to go with Odell. Because I think he's washed up, and I think he needs to retire.
Is this
because he's
dating Kim Kardashian right now?
No, it's just like you saw Aaron Donald.
I date Kim K. Kim K, call me if you need
Jason
me.
Jason Kelce all retire this season. It's time to let it go. It came across my feed, and it was like, oh, free agency. And I'm like,
buddy. I think he's that bad.
Yes.
Like,
he's still got something to give. He's got some in the tank.
But say it. Here we go. Say it. Who is your poo-poo person?
OBJ. Odell, it's time to retire. You have the money. You have the looks. Go model for Vogue or something. It's just not.
No, that's our sound now.
That's the sound effect.
That's the sound for the poo-poo Broussard.
He needs to retire. That's my poo-poo Broussard. He's just going to get hurt.
Wow.
Go ahead, Andre.
This week, got to give it to John Calipari. Kentucky, god awful in the tournament for the past 3 years. I mean, St. Peter's, some people learn their lessons like UVA. UVA learns their lessons, getting upset about 16 seed. Yeah, and then they won the Natty the next year.
Oh, well, yeah, true.
And then Kentucky goes and does this with one of the most talented basketball teams I've ever seen as far as NBA talent. Calipari just doesn't look like he cares anymore. By the way, Kentucky, you suck because you're giving this man his buyout is $34 million. You think this is
a lot of money?
You think they got that money? No, they ain't got that money. $34 million. Shoo! I win five games. Try and fire me.
I dare you to fire me.
Shoot, man. You fell off, man. You fell off, John Calipari. John Calipari, the game's starting to pass you up. And for that reason, you are my Poo Poo Broussard of the week.
It takes a lot to coach in a March Madness game, ladies and gentlemen. And one of those traits that you have to have is belief. And you have to not only believe in yourself as a player, as a coach, as a staff member, but you got to believe in others as well, especially when you're the head coach of one of the best programs, supposedly best programs in college basketball. The reason I mention that is my Poo Poo Broussard this week is Mr. Bill Self. Bill Self.
Cheater.
And noted cheater Bill Self survived on a ref's whistle against Samford. They only won by four. They should have lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
They then face 5-seed Gonzaga. Kansas enters the game as favorites. They go into the locker room at halftime up 1 point, 49-48. Final score, Gonzaga 89, Kansas 68. Bill Self, in the press conference after the game, has the nerve, the
audacity,
the unmitigated gall to stand in front of the media after his players' seasons just ended and tell them, tell the media after, because Bill Self's going to coach next year, but some of those guys will never play basketball again.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
For them, this was their last chance to be a part of something magical. And Bill Self went in front of the media and he said, straight out of his mouth, "I've been preparing for next season for the last month."
Oh, wow.
Bill Self, for your lack of belief not only in yourself as a head coach, but in your players, in your staff, in your fans, in your university, you are an utter embarrassment to what it means to be a college basketball head coach.
Wow.
I hope you get fired one day because you are a cheater, you are a liar, you are a poor man manager, you are someone who has leached off of your success, off of a school that has given you every resource to do it. Bill Self, you are my Poo Poo Broussard. And that sound effect doesn't do it justice.
No, it really doesn't.
It doesn't do it justice because, that is so unbelievably bad to say in front of grown adults.
We should have had a Poo Poo Broussard off between Kentucky and Kansas this year.
They should have played,
each other in a first-round game.
Who is the biggest Poo-Poo Broussard, Kansas or Kentucky?
And we could get that set up. We need to send out some emails.
Yeah, we could. Maybe we could host that at the UREC.
Not the PMAC, the UREC.
I mean, no, that game don't deserve the PMAC. That game deserves the UREC.
UREC, for sure.
Not even outside the inside course. The outside.
You see what I'm talking about,
while it's raining and cold.
Yeah. But let's wrap this up because this is getting out of hand. that is going to do it for us today. Big thank you to Raven and Andon for joining me. I'm Andre Champagne, and this was a crazy podcast.
Unhinged, if you will. Yeah. Happy March, everyone.
Almost April.
Goku.
And this has been the Hodges Huddle.